not relate to that? I don't think there's anyone here who can say, it's a piece of cake. I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. It's easy. This is easy. Life is a journey, and it's hard. And that video, that's why I wanted to show that again. In this world, you will have trouble. Sometimes the trouble comes through no fault of our own. Sometimes it is exactly through our own doing, right? It's like, oops, that didn't go so well. And either way, though, these are things that James calls the trials of many kinds, because there's a variety of trials that happen, both intentional and unintentional. But he also gives godly counsel of how to steer through it well. And I'm talking through travel tips, basic travel. Can you put that slide up there? Basic travel basics for the bumpy ride, and it's like everyone gets a bumpy ride. Doesn't matter what your shocks are, how good your shocks are, you're going to have a bumpy ride. It's just a given. So James is writing to believers who know pain and suffering. It says at the beginning of the book of James, and I'm doing chapter 5, the last chapter of the book of James. James is the younger brother of Jesus. Of course, Jesus is the firstborn, born of a virgin. James is his little brother. And so he writes with serious conviction about what it means to follow Christ and to trust in the Lord. And he's writing to Jewish Christians that were scattered due to heavy persecution. So he's not just writing to nominal believers. He's not writing to people who are members of a club or an organization. He's writing to people who are so changed at their core by their faith in Christ that it has gotten them persecuted. It has gotten them outcast and attacked by their neighbors, friends, government, church, the synagogue, to the point where they have fled. They have fled their homes, fled their inheritances, fled their lands and family, and maybe taken family with them and gone to different places around the world. And so this is who he's writing to, people who are seriously walking with Christ. He's writing to believers. And if you don't know Jesus Christ by faith, all of what I'm going to say today won't make any sense at all and will be impossible for you to apply to your life. Because these things are spirit, these are words of spirit and truth, and until you're born again, until you've come to faith in Christ, none of it will make sense and it will all be impossible to implement in your life. But God is so good, he makes it wide open and free. He offers a free gift. And I just want to invite you to put your trust in Christ right now. It's as simple as that. It's a decision of the will. There is no pixie dust or any special goosebumps. I don't know what goosebumps you can buy or order on Amazon. There is none. It's like, it's not a feeling. It's a decision of the will to trust Christ. And I would encourage you to do that and to actually, I want to pray right now so that your eyes will be open, so this message will be effective. So, Father, I just pray right now for anyone in this room who doesn't know you, that they would put their trust in you as we speak right now. Father, thank you for your grace and that you say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will in no way cast off or reject. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just minister and draw people in, that you would bring conviction of sin and of righteousness, and of judgment to come for all of us. Lord, and I pray if there's anyone here that isn't sure, I pray that they would walk out of here certain that they are saved, certain that they are born anew of your Spirit, so that your word would come alive in their hearts. Thank you, Lord, and just, maybe you don't know what to say, but here's an example of a prayer. Father, forgive me. Thank you for sending Jesus. And I receive what Jesus did on the cross as the sacrifice for my sin. Thank you that Jesus took the punishment for my sin, and I can go free, and I can receive your forgiveness. And Lord, help me to believe. Help me to receive and to live it out starting today, right now. Open my eyes, Lord, to see your kingdom. Give me eyes to see and a heart that's new and that will follow you no matter what the circumstances look like. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is the forgiver of your past and the one in charge of your future when you let him. So thanks for praying. I'm going to read through James 5, and I want to, let's stand together. I'm going to read through this last chapter, as we've done for each of these four chapters, to stand as at the reading of the Word of God. We don't normally do that, but I'm reading out of the New International Version. And so we'll just read that and pray. It says, "Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent people." There's gender things at the different versions. Hopefully I'm going to get it right. "Innocent men," it says, "who were not opposing you. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you'll be condemned. Is any one of you in trouble? They should pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? They should call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring them back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So, Father, we just thank you for the words of James, and we just pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand. Father, thank you that your word is alive and that we're here because you've touched our lives. The invisible God has made yourself known. Father, bless our time, and just pray that it would be true ministry from you to us, that we would take to heart the words of James that he wrote so long ago, that you have written so long ago. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So he's given a warning to the rich. Now it says, you rich people, weep and wail. And we know he's not against rich people. He's against people putting their trust in riches. There's many, many biblical patriarchs, matriarchs, many biblical examples of people who love the Lord who were very wealthy. So he's not against wealth. He's warning against trusting in wealth, trusting in money to make you happy, trusting in money to get you out of trouble instead of trusting in the Lord. It says, and then he says, wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Proverbs 23:5 says, cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Over and over. Anyone can relate to that? There's so many times when it's like, finally got something bigger than a zero in my checking account. And then something would happen. Something would break. Something would happen. And I realized that it, for so long, and I've said this before, but for so long, I felt like, God, why can't I get above zero? Just check to check. But then I'd get these extra freelance jobs, different extra income would come in, and then something would happen, it'd just be gone, sprouting wings and fly off. And you know, an eagle is a really big thing up close. And that money up in hand is like, wow, look at that. Look at that. It's big and impressive. But when it flies away, that eagle looks pretty teeny, pretty tiny and insignificant way up in the sky. Is that an eagle? I think that's, no, that's an airplane. No, I think it's Superman, yeah. When it gets far away, it's really insignificant, and we can be, you know, deceived and thinking this is big and impressive. And God says, he's not happy with our trusting in wealth. And he gives warning, don't trust your debit card. Trust in him. Money is deceptive. It's worthless. Money is worthless to do what God really wants to do in your life. It sprouts wings and goes. And then something, it took me years to realize that these extra jobs I would get ahead of time, and now it's like, look at that. I have three figures in the checking account. And then the transmission goes out, the washing machine goes out, but I have the money to get it fixed. Yeah. And I'm back to zero, and it took me a while to realize God knew that was coming, and he provided ahead of time, and it was covered. And he wants us dependent on him, because then I'm talking to him, which is the main goal. When you're dependent on the Lord, you're talking to God. When you got it, a slush fund, you're not talking to God. You're talking to your slush fund, and you're going, prr, prr, look at that. Throwing it out and rolling around in it. And like your back room, right, Tony, that you have that back room. Yeah, your Scrooge McDuck room, yeah. And God doesn't want it. James is taking to heart Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. There's many of these passages, many of these thoughts, these principles are from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. He's talking about weep and wail because your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Your corrosion will testify against you. Your rust will testify against you. And it'll eat your flesh like fire. And Jesus said, he's not against storing up for ourselves. He's just saying, where you store up, don't store up on this earth, store up in heaven, treasures in heaven where moth doesn't destroy, rust doesn't destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And out of the heart come the issues of life. And that's why God says, guard your heart. In everything you do, guard your heart. Don't put it on money. You know, the god Baal, you know, why was Baal worship such a temptation? Why did so many kings of Israel fall into worshiping Asherah poles and wicked idols that they knew were man-made things. Well, it's not just a pretty statue. The god of Baal god, the false god of the nations around Israel, was known as the rider of the clouds. So it wasn't just a cool gold image that everyone came and flocked to. It was known as the rider of the clouds, which was the rider of the clouds provided rain for crops. It was the god who produced rain. It produced fertility for mothers. It was thought to have produced, and supposedly the heavens rained oil, the land flowing with milk and honey and oil. And this is why King Ahab married a woman from a Baal-worshipping country called Jezebel. Because he thought, man, if the God of Israel is cool, two are better than one. Let's add to this. Let's add to this God of Israel. Let's get Baal in here. And let's have a party, because he's the God of the wind and the rain and the healthy crops. And healthy crops is healthy money. That's a big checkbook. And so they even set up an altar in Samaria, in the middle part of Israel, for the god of Baal. And they set up a Asherah pole to worship, for the people to worship. And they didn't totally ignore Jehovah God, but they added Baal worship. And that's why Elijah was sent by God to the prophets of Baal and had the big battle on Mount Carmel, where say, who is God? Let's see who really is God. And in 1 Kings 16:33, Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more, says he did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all kings of Israel before him. Baal worship was an issue of the economy. It was a financial worship. It was saying, man, God, you're not providing quite like I was hoping for, so I'm going to get a little supplemental income here, a little supplemental source. And a lot of what it is it's God plus. It's, you can, you know, some Christians, we got to be careful, be on guard, guard our hearts from saying you're devoted to Christ plus. I'm going to get this other, you know, this other thing. And there's wisdom and there's walking by the Spirit. I'm not saying to be foolish and not plan ahead, not make good investments, and not use money well. Just don't worship your money. Yeah. And if your money tanks out, God is good. Yeah. God is good. And so it says, so you've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence, and God is there's no blessing on self-focused investments. Just spending on yourself. God is all about others. So I appreciate things, opportunities to take a, you know, receive an offering for others, because God's blessing is in that. Then he says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Why does he say that? Because we're going to need patience, because God's timing isn't always our timing. So often we want something done, and it's like, come on, God, now would be a good time. How about now? How about now? How about, okay, this afternoon. Wait till this afternoon, and we're good. Wait, you know, okay, tonight. Tonight will be good too. All right, in the morning, tomorrow, I'm going to trust you till tomorrow. And God's timing is not our timing. And so it says after this, after he says, don't trust, and he's talking about people living in persecution, far from home, scattered, people who know pain and suffering, know hardship. He's saying, trust the Lord, not your money, and be patient with the Lord, because his timing is going to be different than yours. And so, and he says, when things aren't happening, we tend to get mad at each other. Don't grumble and complain about each other. Don't grumble against each other, or you will be judged. And the judge is standing at the door. It's always so fun to come upon our kids when they're little and they're having a fight and you're in the doorway and it's like listening to the whole thing. And then they realize, oh, dad's right there. And your dad is right there. Okay? Your Heavenly Father is right there. He knows. He's hearing the grumbling and complaining. And so don't, it's not this other person's fault. It's not each other. It's not each other that's at fault. God is doing something and giving you opportunity to show how you trust one another, despite what things look like. He's giving you a chance that there's tension, there's issues, and he's letting you put into practice that you are trusting God and not holding each other at fault, but you're being kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's how we're to be with each other, no matter who that other is. But he says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is. And then it says, autumn and spring rains. Now, I know we got some farmer knowledgeable people here. It's not just the spring rains that are needed, and it's not just the autumn rains that are needed. And this farmer, it says, look at the example, the farmer. He goes out and he has seed and he plants it by faith. Every year, by faith. There's no guarantee that there's going to be a harvest off of that effort. And he is trusting and waiting on not only the spring rains to be appropriately timed so that you can get your planting in, but then it'll germinate, it'll take root, it'll bear a crop, and that the autumn rains continue to boost that. And I'm sure Josh and others could tell a lot more about it than I could, being from Chicago and not living near a farm much at all. And but I get the idea. We all get the idea. And it says, look at the farmer who's patient, how patient they are to wait. And it's talking about the Lord's coming. It's not just about, I don't believe this is just talking about his return. It is talking about his return, but it's also talking about when God needs to show up. When God shows up in the day-to-day things, not just the end of the race time when we all see his face, but he is going to show up. Wait patiently for the Lord's coming, and he will. And don't complain, grumble against each other, because the judge is standing at the door. And then he gives an example of patience in the face of suffering. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Can you imagine, if you know the prophets, how much they were used of God to speak to kings, to people in high places, perfectly the message of God, and how little they were heeded and listened to by what they said, and how they were killed. They killed the prophets. And many of the prophets never saw what God spoke through them. And that's the people group that we're given as an example of how to be that kind of patient. Yeah. It's like, but we want to see results. We want to see it now. God doesn't promise that we will see results with our eyes, because God is a God of multi-generations. He just calls us to be faithful with what he calls us to be faithful with. That may be for our generation, but it may be for the next generation. Yeah. Maybe for exactly something else that he's doing. So you can't say, I mean, only in America do we want to see results and we want to see evidence of good decisions, where God says, make good decisions whether you see the evidence or not. Yeah. Amen? Amen? That's what separates us from the world. That's what separates us, because we're not living for this world. Our investment effort is not in this temporary apartment dwelling that is called earth, this earth. But we're living for another kingdom. We're looking to another kingdom that is guaranteed going to be a great return on our investment. So we make the most of right now. But he's saying, be patient. Wait on the Lord like the prophets. And then we can read the Hall of Faith, chapter 11 of Hebrews, where it goes down many of the greats of the faith and how they never received what they were promised. They never received what they were they were living for until the next life. And I don't say that to discourage, but to encourage. It says, don't get mad at each other when we don't get what we want. I wasn't here, but some friends of ours, pastors from Faribault, Pastor Herman and Yolandita Colon of one of the Hispanic churches in town that we were good friends with years ago. They moved up to Minneapolis and pastored up there. Pastor Herman Colon was here yesterday. We're doing some things I'll get into later, but I wasn't here. I was away, but others showed them around, and they are, I heard, if I get the story right, they are renting space for a church up in the cities. They've been in it for seven years. And he's like, and he was saying, 7 years, man, my wife and I were talking, what are we doing wrong? It's been 7 years that we don't have our own place. Kindergarten. It's just a good start. I said, wait another 12 years beyond your seven. And that's where we were, 19 years. And, you know, patiently waiting. And God is faithful. God is faithful. I still look around here and going, oh, my, I'm blessed. This is just, I know it's a building. I know it's a temporary thing. But it's beautiful. It's like, wow. Wow. I mean, I don't know how many times I say wow in a normal week. It's like, I walk around and go, wow, wow, wow. And then before I leave at the end of the day, wow, and then I turn off the lights and then leave for the day. And then I come back in the morning and go, wow, wow. 19 years. And to not complain, and the tendency is like, what are we doing wrong? What are you doing wrong? You're not doing something right, or we'd have our own place, or we'd have this, or we'd do that. It's like, no. James is saying, don't grumble and complain against each other. God is doing things. God loves you. God loves the other person as much as he loves you. God loves me. I mean, that's a battle that I took quite personally for 19 years. God, it must be me. It must be me. And otherwise, there'd be something else. And it's like, no. There's the devil will always provide a checklist of why you're doing it wrong. He'll always give you something. And James says, reject that. Reject that. That's not about you. God so loved you that he sent his only son, that you could believe on him and not perish, but have everlasting life and be blessed in the heavenlies with every spiritual blessing and to be given life abundantly in this life. And whatever sacrifice you've made to follow him, he will more than provide in this life and in the life to come. Amen. So don't listen to the lies that says you're doing something wrong. If you're in sin, repent. You know, that's different. If you're in known sin, just repent, and even that. And he goes on to that, this part of this chapter. So, and then he says, above all, do not swear. And I don't think that's just cussing, because he says, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes. And we know we're not to swear, not have foul language is not becoming of a follower of Jesus Christ. It is not becoming of a person walking by the Holy Spirit to swear, to use four-letter words. I just want to say that as your pastor. Wash your mouth of that. Wash your language of that. It's not, I know there's Christians in foreign nations that use that. It's just normal to their culture. It's not healthy to this culture. It's not good. So just, you know, repent of foul language and trust that the Lord will purify your mouth as you surrender to the Lord in that. But he's talking about let your yes be yes and your no be no. Yeah. If you are asked a question, say, I'll pray about it, or I'll, you know, yeah, I'll probably be there. It's like, no, just say yes or say no. Be a person of integrity. Let your yes be yes. And the phrase, well, to be honest, you know, makes me want to say, well, what were you before you said to be honest? How should I take everything else you said if you have to preface what you're about to say by saying, to be honest? Don't provide a reputation for yourself that makes anyone question your sincerity or honesty at any time. And I get the phrase. It's a habit of a phrase, yeah, to be honest. Maybe say to be frank or to be totally transparent, because I know there's times where you want to be gracious. But use a different phrase than to be honest, because then it's like, hey, everything I'm saying is a lie, 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 and false, false, false. Hey, and to be honest, I'm gonna interchange some truth here. I'm going to tell you what I really think right here. And then I'm going to go back to lie, lie, false, false, false. Don't set yourself up for a reputation like that. Don't get in that speech rut, to be honest. So let your yes be yes. It's so much better, and maybe it's a Chicago thing, but which is still in me. So much better, just say no. Just say no. Great. Good. Now I know. You're not going to come over. Great. Instead of saying, yeah, yeah, I'll be there, yeah, and then never show up. Yeah, I'll do that. No, and then don't do it. Yeah, that's another thing. Let me think about it. I will get back to you on that. That's a legitimate response. And then actually think about it. And then actually come back with a yes or a no. This is real life, guys. This is nitty gritty. This is Christian life. This is real integrity. James is saying, say yes or say no. Period. And man, that's refreshing. It's refreshing to be that kind of person with that kind of integrity that, you know what, you're led by the Spirit. You're not led by people's approval of you. You know, I'm going to invite you to Tuesday night meeting. I have no idea what's going on in your schedule. We're inviting you for dinner. I have no idea. I trust your schedule. You know your schedule. If you say no, it's no. Got it. Great. We will not plan on you to be there unless you call and say something changed in my schedule and it's a yes. Like, got it. So this is, I am making a big deal about this, but it's a big thing. It's refreshing to hear just a flat-out no. All right, so then it goes into prayer. So warning to the rich, patience in suffering, trust the Lord. And then is any of you in trouble? Pray. Is any of you having things going great? Pray. Praise God. You in trouble? Talk to God. Are you in blessing? Talk to God. It's no matter what's going on, he's emphasizing, talk to God. Talk to God. And call, if you're sick, call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. And I appreciate, you know, I invite that. Don't always know if someone's sick. But we would be glad to anoint with oil and believe God and offer up a prayer in faith to make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If there's sin, it will be forgiven. And that says, confess your sins one to another, because that's not a deal buster. That's not, I mean, this world is fallen. It's in a mess. It's defective. And it's not just going to get better someday. It will likely get worse, because it's wearing out like a garment. And Jesus is coming back to make new all things. But in the meantime, we talk to God. And he's encouraging, develop your prayer life. Develop a life of prayer. Not just before meals, but before decisions, before the morning. You know, I mean, when the morning starts, when the evening ends, just be a person of prayer. And what you will do, you will be inviting the presence of the Lord in every minute of your day. The awareness of God is what is on our end. God is always there. He is always listening, always ready to respond to a prayer. The question is more for us to develop the realization that he's always there, that he's right there. He's right here. He's not just here on a Sunday. He's every day of the week, every situation you're in, he's standing at the door and he's knocking and he's waiting and interested in what you have to say. And he says, come to me, talk to me. If you're sick, talk to me. If you're happy, talk to me. And then he goes on to give an example of Elijah just being a person just like us and how God used Elijah. So I want to close with actually a slideshow here that we that just happened over time, some of it, and I'm going to back up to starting with just some things. I want to especially thank Ivy Krill and Ross Krill for a lot of the things you're about to see here, but also Jim Sam. And I'll just start. Go ahead and show that first slide, Emma. This is Jim Sam, who is one of the farmers I mentioned who is not here. He's actually in St. Mary's Hospital, and I'd like to have us pray for him right now. He just had felt sick, and I don't know what day it was. It was 4th of July. He had surgery, had his gallbladder removed, and now he's got complications from that surgery, and they took him back into District 1, and then brought him to Rochester, St. Mary's. So there's some complications where his system's not functioning. So I just want to pray. Let's just agree in prayer for him. Father, we just pray for Jim Sam and that you would touch him right now, even as he is at the hospital, that you would heal his body, heal him inside and out. Lord, thank you that you are the God of the systems. You created the systems of the body. You know exactly what's out of order. And we just thank you for the blood of Jesus that won the victory over sickness and disease. And we pray for Jim that you would be glorified in his mortal body right now. Heal him, Lord. Raise him up. Lord, we do pray for wisdom for the medical people involved, but we pray more so for you to touch him supernaturally and heal him. We thank you, Lord. I also want to pray in a similar way, Jerry Knudsen. I want to pray for Jerry. Some of you know him, some of you don't, but Father, you know Jerry, you know his need in a similar way. Lord, he's got many medical challenges right now. We pray that you'd be glorified and that you would especially bless him in his attitude, in his heart, Lord, in his spirit. God, encourage and refresh him. Deliver him from evil, Lord. Deliver him from despair or discouragement, which can be even more devastating than physical issues, Lord. So we just pray that you would raise him up, and we just join together and agree in prayer for your touch on Jerry and Jim. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. So these are big field stones that are from Jim's field, his farmland. So you can go to the next one. And it's just him bringing. I said, hey, Jim, we need some field stone. I want to put some rocks out in front of the sign here. So I didn't realize what kind of serious equipment he's got for moving stones. So you can go to the next one. So it's just him putting these stones in and his farmhand helping out. You can go to the next. And just some. So that's what it looks like. And that's kind of setting the stage. And this is a sign that I just want to say so many people from this church, Tim Jandro, Mike Schlossen, Bob Jones, Ray Shane Snesrud, who's here. And also I want to say Paul Karen is behind this whole sign. And I say this is the body of Christ. This is all people within this church. The only Paul Karen saw this little sketch I had done, and I thought, let's do a sign, just to, you know, we want to get this up, get a sign out front and two posts and a board and cool sign on both sides. Well, he says, let's do something epic, you know, let's do something more substantial. And I'm like, wow, what a thought, doing a nice sign. And so I started drawing some different ideas and then took it to Brushwork in Town and came up with the brick and everything to look like the building. And anyway, so all these people. And then Jim Sams Fieldstone from his farmland brought up. And okay, go to the next one. This is the body of Christ in action. Then you can keep going. Got rid of the grass. We're trying to get rid of the grass and make it beautiful with flowers. And here's ivy and Ross. I tried doing the American Gothic photo. You guys look too scary in it. Too kind of mean mugging instead of, anyway, it didn't really work, so I don't want to show them that photo. So go on, next one. Just doing some things. And Ivy's just been such a champion for her expertise of flowers. And it's like, I have an idea, and I took it to Ivy, and then just made it this wonderful thing. Go to the next, just keep going through. You can just keep going through, and then I'll tell you when to stop. So got some mulch in there, and this is going to be, and she also did all the potted plants that you see around here. Just has a beautiful eye for that stuff, and there's the pretty much the finished product. So now it's just a matter of time. It's mostly perennials. It'll come back and don't have to mow it. So now, hold it there. Then we had this paver patio done in the process. And I want to say this because sometimes God will have something in your life that you had no plans for, but it's a blessing. And it kind of was a jolt to your schedule, but it turns out to be a blessing. And so we had these pavers done. Well, in the process, thinking there'd be a few inches of black dirt to remove to get down to the clay stuff. Well, there was like 16 to 18 inches of gorgeous black dirt right over there. And over on this side of the building, the rain, the gutters, so many of the downspouts were stolen or not functioning when we bought this place. And we had them replaced, but the rain over the 6 years it sat vacant hammered the ground, and the ground sunk, and the concrete gutters weren't draining away, so we had to build new ones, but now they're much higher than the ground, and so we wanted to get some black dirt. Well, I wasn't planning on this process of getting that black dirt. I thought we're going to have to buy, and black dirt isn't cheap, to buy a lot of black dirt to raise the ground up to be level with those rain gutters. Well, here it's free. We got all this unexpected black dirt. So I didn't plan it, but let's put it over on the north side. So show that next one. And so we're dumping it on the grass because you can see how much concrete is above ground there. And my favorite observation is by the city public works people that Paul knows, works with. They drove by and said, "What are you guys starting your own cemetery? You got plots out there? You got to see how many bodies you got buried, Albert, over there." I thought that was pretty hilarious. And then, so it was just like pile. Looked like fresh graves. We only do at night. So I'll give you a discount, so let me know. Just talk to me. So we had it spread out, and go to the next one. So all this free black dirt, had it leveled, and so many of the guys came, the next one just came and helped level it out and get it ready. And I'm thinking, okay, you can leave it there. And I'm thinking, we don't have time or money to get sod. We can't afford this. It's not, you know, God, we can't afford this. And so we're probably going to seed it. But this is the worst time of the year to seed to get grass going. So different ideas. Talking to landscapers in town, they said, you know what? Let it go to weed, throw some grass seed on it in the fall, and then in the spring, weed and feed it. And it's like, great idea. I'm just going to let it go to weed. So that was my plan, let it go to weed. And then I get a phone call, and this was just last weekend. This was after the 7:40 men's breakfast. These guys graciously came out and had brought shovels and rakes to level that and get it ready. And now it runs off, and it's all level with the concrete. Yesterday, my son calls me and says, "Hey, Dad, remember that you got that north side dirt?" And he's like, "Yeah. How would you like to get 4 pallets of free sod?" Like, and he was asked to help with a sod project, and they had left over 4 pallets of cut that morning sod. So now you can go to the next one. And it's like, okay, this is just a partial. We had four loads like that. And it's like, okay, it's the good news and the bad news. The good news is we got 4 pallets of free sod. The bad news is we got 4 pallets of free sod that we gotta deal with now. You got 48 hours to deal with it. That was not in my plan. That was not in my schedule, nor was the black dirt in my schedule. This sod was not in the schedule, but made one phone call, who made more phone calls and texts, and we got a bunch of guys. That guy right there made the phone call. Bruce, thank you. And so, go on. So, we started laying sod. And it is so fun to do sod. It's living carpet. Instant gratification. That's America. It's America. Everything that I'm preaching against, you know, I mean, God knows. God knows how we're made. And he works with us. It's amazing. It's amazing. So keep going. And this is just some, you can scroll through a few of these. This is just unplanned yesterday by a few people that showed up. That section down was the last section that needed. Brought in the big guns. Had to get the rototiller because it was pretty high. And that's last night. 10 o'clock, and that's this morning. Leave it there. That's this morning. Yeah, let's do a... Now, this is just some grass. I know that. I get it. It's the lawn. It's the lawn. You know, but God cares. Yes. That's the thing. I thought we're going to be content with a weedy north side the rest of this year and people looking at us going, you know, but we have a plan. Don't worry about it. We have a plan. No, this isn't a ghetto, but God had a different idea. And that 4 pallets was exactly what we needed. Exactly what we needed. We have a little, you'll see a little pile here still left over, but there's a little section that we got to dig out the old grass to at that far, far, far end. And it's just enough. And I'm thinking 4 pallets, I had no idea how far that would go. But this is, an example of don't trust in riches. Don't worry about your finances. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And yeah, there's times when you just got to go buy that thing. You just got to go buy it. And there's grace and there's blessing in that. But wait on the Lord. Give God a chance. You know, if we don't need it, and that's kind of where I was at. We don't have to have it. I'm not going to spend that much money on sod. I'm going to be fine with weeds. It'll be fine. And we'll plant in the fall when you should plant grass seed. And God said, hey, I got a surprise for you. And in an afternoon and an evening, and we left the windows open last night, and I just want to, because it was so cool, it's like, okay, we'll cool it off. But then I came in here, it was still pretty hot in here, and I was here late last night, I was here, it's past midnight, getting ready, and I'm closing the windows over there, and I see a car go by. I just see the headlights and taillights through the marbled glass there, and they just stopped, you know, and they're going by real slow. So I'm looking out the window. I go, oh, some admirer of our great work. Look at, they're just really, really complimenting us and noticing our great new lawn. And here it's Bruce. As Bruce checking the sprinklers, if they're still, this is at like 12, this is past midnight. So we talked out on the other side, it was pretty funny. And just the devotion of the body of Christ, and I just this is lawn. I get it. You know, it's grass. But an example that God shows the beauty of the body of Christ working together, caring that God provides. And I was given all kinds of sermon ideas by the guys because I'm saying this was not in my plan. I was going to be working on my message today and this. And he said, well, God provides the grass. We just got to lay it down, you know, and that's all. He provides the living things and we just get to use them. And so it's just grass, but it shows God cares. He knows our need. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. God provides for the birds. He provides for the flowers. He provides for us in his time. Don't fight with each other. Don't fight with each other. Trust that you're together in this. We're together in this. They're not the fault. And even when they make a bad decision, God can work in that bad decision. And sometimes something will happen in your life where all of a sudden you have a blessing that was not in your schedule. You didn't make plans for that thing. It's going to be okay. It'll be okay. Your sermon will get done. It will happen. And so one of the most happy people this next will be our grounds crew, Olivia Karen. Where is it? Right there. She is wonderful. She's the one who mows the lawn. It's like, Olivia, we just added a third of your job. It just, yeah, you get to mow a lot more. That's not the new sod. That's the boulevard on that side of the. So anyway, she's not mowing that yet. She will. Did I have anything else? Any other pictures in there? Is that it? Okay. So just to wrap it up, 3 points. Number one, put your trust in God, not wealth. Whatever stuff, don't live for that. Two is be patient with God. He's faithful. And don't chew each other up in the process. And then three, talk to God. When things are going well, because he's powerful and he's gracious. When things are going poorly, talk to God. When things are going well, talk to God with thanksgiving in your heart, with praise. Sing songs of praise to God. He wants the relationship. Practice prayer often. Monday night, 1 hour on the patio. Every night, I want to encourage you to just come at least once a month, come to prayer. We pray for our church, for the churches. We pray for this city. We pray for the nation. And then he ends with, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. God is so gracious. He's so gracious that he overlooks a multitude of sin. So let's stand up and close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And I'm speaking to myself. I need reminders. I know we all do, because this world will continue to hammer at us and continue to give us opportunity to not trust him. So I want to encourage us to trust him. Lord, help us to put you over everything else in this world. God, to trust your provision, trust your resources more than our bank accounts, more than whatever government or our jobs or our bank accounts can do for us, Lord. Help us to truly put that into practice, that we look to you and we look to you patiently. Help us to be patient and trust your timing in everything. Father, that you know exactly what you're doing. You love us with an everlasting love. And help us to be tender-hearted and forgiving toward others along the way, that we wouldn't give in to the temptation to bicker and argue and fight with others who appear to be holding us back from what we should get. Help us, God, not to be like the world, but to be citizens and kingdom dwellers with you who are patient and walk with integrity. And God, help us to be people of prayer in everything and anything, and Lord, to practice, to grow and develop in our prayer life and our ability to be aware of you, to know that you're right there. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement through the book of James. Thank you that he has a message that resonates with us today. Bless this week. Hallelujah. Lord, truly use us to be difference makers, that we wouldn't just reflect the world, but we would reflect your Son. God, you're coming back soon, and you stand at the door. You're in the doorway. And Lord, we want to live lives of godliness, of purity and integrity before you, before each other. We want this place to be a place that shines brightly with your character. We don't want to just have a club, a gathering of people that are of this world. We want to be in the world, but we know we don't want to be of the world. So Father, bless our children, bless those in need. You know all the physical needs and spiritual needs, God. I just pray for your increase. We thank you, Lord, and we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a